You can all see the title for this session. The speakers are from Mississippi State University in Information Technology Services, User Services. The speakers are Amy Berryhill and David Fulton. Amy is the lead IT consultant. Her recent projects include the development of a campus-wide information security training program and the project to be presented here. She holds a PhD in instructional systems and workforce development with a minor in communication and a master's in instructional technology. David is a web developer with over 6 years of experience with ITS, having developed a university donations application, workshop registration system, and most relevant here, he is the co-developer and lead programmer of Immersus. David has an MBA focusing on project management.
Okay, welcome everybody. David and I are going to do a rundown of the project that we worked on. We are from Mississippi State University, and the project that we worked on consisted of team members. There was academic four that included the Jerry Gilbert, Nancy McCarley, Linda Morris, and Lynn Rhinesmith. Jerry Gilbert at the time was the associate provost. He's the provost now. Nancy McCarley was over the Honors College. Linda Morris is the director for the Center for Teaching and Learning. And Lynn Rhinesmith, he retired, but he was the associate dean of the College of Agriculture. And then it included members, David and myself from ITS, David, myself, and Jason, who is the manager of our unit. We had additional support for this project from the Student Affairs, the Honors College, the Library, and the College of Agriculture. So all these entities represented a big stakeholders in the project and big, you know, heavy hitters on campus. So we were lucky to have support from just about everybody that we needed support from. So on the, last year in 2009 was the first year that Mississippi State University decided to have a common reading initiative. I know a lot of other colleges had been doing it for a really long time, but Jerry Gilbert, as the associate provost, thought that we needed to do something like that. And so on the initial team was Matt Raven. He was the director of the user services for our unit. And he had come to EDUCAUSE for many years, and the year before had been to a presentation about alternative reality gaming. And so when they were discussing part of that, he volunteered ITS to look into perhaps doing some sort of alternate reality gaming for the reading project. So in addition to Matt, we had Academic Affairs, the Provost Office. They were really over the whole project and would assign funding or whatever we needed. And Student Affairs, we worked with us to integrate what we were doing into the student population, and as did the Library. So part of any sort of common reading experience has, you know, the same sort of goals: to encourage reading, to create a sense of community on campus, and to promote what the university has to offer students. And so, you know, we adopted those goals as well. In addition, we wanted to have some increase the first-year student retention rate. That was one of the primary goals of the group, and to find a way to have students become more involved with campus, especially the freshmen, and to be able to reach out to freshmen in some other way than what we were currently doing. And we wanted to do something different that would attract students to the reading program. So Dr. Raven said, well, let's just do something really different. And he suggested the alternative reality gaming. He tasked David, myself, and Jason to do some research on that and to do a presentation at the Dean's Council. And so we looked at the Nine Inch Nails ARG that they had done, and we looked at one that the Smithsonian had done, and so we went to the council and we suggested some sort of alternative reality gaming. And the timeline that we had was about...
What did we have? We had like 3 weeks before we had to present.
And yes, then
we had
3 weeks to present.
And 2 months, a month development time, lead time.
Yeah, and about a month to develop the whole thing. So we were on a strict timeline that, and we were kind of, you know, just flying by the seat of our pants. So,
That's me. Alternate reality game. It's currently being used with viral marketers. They're trying to reach out to a base, and what they're doing is that they'll present a narrative that the people are in. They're presented with a set of clues or puzzles or events that are orchestrated by puppet masters. That's their term. Or the game designers. That's what they really are. They're altering reality by interweaving both real and orchestrated events to alter the perception of the people that are basically seeing the events. And it's not role-playing for the participants. They're themselves, they don't know that they're role-playing, but they're sitting in the middle of something, and then something odd happens or something else is going on. Audi used this style by talking about their car, their brand new car that was stolen. And it was a one-year game of trying to figure out who stole the car, and then if you figured that out and helped them find the thieves, you actually got the car. It was a great piece for people who really wanted to dive into the whole piece of all these things. And it's a really... If you know you're playing a game, it's fantastic. But the question is whether you know you're playing the game, if you would. So one of the concerns that I had and we had as a group is that, you know, you have freshmen. They're transitioning from high school. They're coming to college. It's scary. It's hard. And then the idea of doing an ARG where halfway through the semester we say, well, some of those things that you saw happening, yeah, they're not real, or that wasn't exactly what you were thinking, but you were all part of a game. Isn't that fun? We didn't want to alter that reality. We liked a lot of what the ARG idea gives you, a lot of the immersion and a lot of tying pieces together, but we don't want to orchestrate fake events. We want to tie everything together. So we decided that we were going to do an immersive learning experience. We want to tie all the different programs we have going together. The reading experience was not required reading, although the provost did say there'll be good rewards if you read the book, but we had no way to force this. We don't have any programs where the freshman must read this book and then, you know, do classes on it. Not currently, if you'd be so kind. How we came up with immersus is we basically looked at the Latin for immerge, which is to cover completely in a liquid or submerge, which works well. We're bringing them into the campus. And then our goal really is to help the students become a member of the community and find roots quickly to the campus. Find thoughts so that when they think about it, they'll stay. So we took immersus, and then, you know, it's convenient that we have MSU as our initials. And it's convenient that really we want them to be part of MSU. So this worked out really well. If you could step back one. The odd capitalization is one thing that we ran through the whole piece, and it's just the way we spelled it. And at the end of this, we actually asked the students, what did it mean? And we actually had a lot of good responses where they actually figured it out and knew and pulled it together without prompting. We decided to blend this up with the viral marketing campaigns that we had been seeing going on at the time. Good things came from that and bad things came from that. We learned a lot, and we're going to show you some of that. So we were leveraging off of Twitter and Facebook and, like I said, the alternate reality game. And the other thing we were doing was, for the first time, we were recording attendance to events. We sat down with the different people and said, so how many people show up at this event? And they're like, well, we don't have real numbers. I'm like, okay, how many freshmen? No, we don't have real numbers. I'm like, we can do a card swipe. It's cheap. It's easy. Everybody has an ID card. We now can find out. And then we can use those numbers later. If you'd be so kind. No, go for it. Now, the structure of immersus, and like she was saying, we were moving as fast as we could to get this up in time. And that forced a rebuild a year later, but we learned a lot and we went from there. The structure is drops, which we'll explain a little bit better. They're the way we got people into the experience. Nodes, which is the different experiences that they had. This could be anything from answering short questions, essays, simple questions, panel discussions, going to events, playing Frisbee at midnight, different pieces. And then there was a real concern by the academic four, and a very valid concern, that we'd get students into our system and they'd ignore classes. This is too fun. So how do we meter this out? And the other problem we have is that if we didn't govern how many experiences they could have per time interval, we'd run out of experiences really fast. You know, we could have people burn through the whole system. I'm going to assume you're not all programmers. This is kind of a conceptualization of what the structure is. You have an entrance point, and then you have everything's a node, so an experience. And based on how they did the first experience, whether they answered true or false, you could go down one path. But if a different student, they could go down a different path. It was all directed by how they interacted with the experience. As opposed to that narrated, orchestrated, forced set of events, we broke out of that model. We like the idea that you're doing stuff and interacting, but we want to make it personal to each student. And the other thing is, two students talking about this system, they're not being asked the same questions. They had different experiences. That gives them something, a common piece to talk about, which hopefully will bring them into MSU better. And this shows the time governors. What we did was we said, in the first 24 hours, you could only answer that far. In the second interval, you could only answer that far. Late adopters, they can answer all the questions up to the last time block. Early adopters were sitting there at the gate going, come on. Discovered that if you set your time lock at midnight, about 3 seconds after midnight, your servers get hit really well. They'll stay up for it. Okay. All the technology is doing is providing magic. Okay. And that's really what we're doing. We're trying to get a good experience. So if we step back from that technical, here's your node and here's your path and all of those pieces, we're basically built a large scavenger hunt game. If you've read the Choose Your Own Adventure books, you know what I'm talking about, Choose Your Path. If you saw National Treasure with the guy finding a clue and going to the next piece, they were doing that on our campus. We want an excellent experience, and a lot of it was individualizing the system to each of the people and getting them out there and moving. Immersus also did a wonderful job for us for tying together different pieces. The main Immersus component, the website that they go to answer the questions, had questions about the campus and questions about the book. So you get questions on the book, you know, who's this character, how is he related to somebody else? Standard English questions, English lit questions. But questions about campus, think about the campus you work on. There is something about your campus that is distinct, special. Your ad people will use it. We use the statue of our first president on our drill field. Well, if you look at all those pieces, you can tie them into your game. You can ask them to go there and tell me something about that statue. You know, where is the moon sycamore? Where is this? Where is that? What's odd about your architecture? Where's this building? That gets them running around. It gets them thinking. And it gets them tied into the campus. We also had short essays. After running the students through questions about the book, we get to a point where they had basically the option to give us a short essay. We didn't define how far they needed to write or anything like that. When that came in, I was amazed. We were getting book quotes with page notations, and all voluntary. There is nothing that said they had to do a minimum anything. We used all of this piece to prepare the students for their panel discussions. So the professors found out that the students came in on a voluntary program and actually read the book and had thought about the book and had been prepared for the questions that we were doing. We also had demonstrations related to the book. The first year was a painted house, so we had weather things and picking cotton, which is part of it. Next slide, please. The other tie-ins we had was we had a final essay contest, which was a two-page serious essay piece. We had a service learning project that we tied in. For the first time, we were doing helping Habitat for Humanity, and that was a really big success on campus. And it tied in, again, with the book. All of these are designed to tie in with whatever book you've chosen, however you're running your themes. And we had different activities. You know the game of the different activities. The fun one for me was the midnight frisbee on the drill field. We chose a full moon night. I mean, the place is lit, but we wanted to add extra light. And we just said, hey, come on out. Play frisbee. Have fun. This should not be all academic. This needs to be a blend to bring them in. Start of Immersus. The start of Immersus was, before the students got here, the provost, Jerry, sent out an email. We had a quote. If you pay attention to this, you'll note that the pieces are miscapitalized. We sent the URL at the bottom. If you put all that together, well, hey, we're branding, we're getting people going. And next slide. That'd take them to our website. Congratulations, you're new, you figured it out. Poof. Here's a website, come on in. One of the first pieces we did was we showed them up front the rewards they could earn. We had t-shirts, we had gift certificates, we had 8 iPod touches, and we had partial scholarships, but they didn't know about that in the beginning. We also had a countdown. They could see how many were available, and they could see it dropping weekly. So they knew this was happening, and they saw t-shirts on campus showing up, and as they participated, they saw the different pieces. All right, the drops. I like to kind of think of them as you know, Alice's little piece down the rabbit hole. You'd be so kind. Excellent. Yeah. So your bookmarks. You all know this bird, this symbol. Okay. Look at your bookmarks. Raise your hand when you see it. I saw one hand. Yeah, we got a little too subtle on it, but look closely, it's there. We distributed that out throughout the campus. These were little clues that we dropped. Now, if you look at that bookmark and you go to Twitter and you go look for the Immersus account, you'll find us, you'll find a way into the system. Next one, please. So we had very limited resources for this. We had staff time, but we didn't have a lot of resources. So we went to the baseball team and said, can we get your old baseballs? And they said, how many? And I said, I don't know, 80, 100? I'm thinking I'm asking for a ridiculous number. And
I wanted to add that baseball was a theme in the book.
Again, so that's tying into the theme.
We tied that.
We got 80, we actually got 100 baseballs, no problem. All we did was we put a simple sticker on it. And then we put them around campus. We put them at all the events that they were going to anyway. We knew what we were planning otherwise. Just dropped in the middle of your beginning games. We had Frisbees that we sent around. Nothing special. We also grabbed some of the Rec Sports Frisbees, except for we put a URL inside. All of this is simple. It's easy. You just slide it in. The return rates on these were lower than we were expecting because we were all jazzed, and viral marketing is wonderful. The return rates are about the same as your survey rates. So it's while that is low, at least it matches something we've seen before in previous pieces. Next piece. Remember I was talking about your campus? Tell me about your campus and what students think about. One of the first things we asked was this question, which was, we have a maroon mile, which is people can donate money by buying bricks. And one of the students decided to ask for a lady's hand in marriage using 5 bricks. So we asked the students to go find it. And when they got us the answer, they could enter the answer in. And we had 2 different paths. If they answered Haley backwards, or if they wrote Haley in forwards. 2 different paths, 2 different directions. You can integrate it into everything. We integrated it into all of our pre-class activities. We integrated it into the artifacts of campus. We got them moving around, and we got them thinking about the campus as their stomping ground, because now they're familiar with it.
Yeah. Okay, so we had panel discussions, and one of the big panel discussions that we had, when we took attendance, we also would send the people, the kids who came. I think the first panel discussion we had about 75 freshmen come, and we got their NetID, which is, you know, their identifier, and so we sent them a T-shirt through. It just showed up at their dorm, and it had a little note in it that said, you know,
come,
congratulations,
play.
You're in, or whatever. It was just, we weren't advertising what we were doing, so the viral marketing part, they would go to things, and then they would get rewards for going there. So that's one way that we got clues out. And so on the main part of it, we individualized the, excuse me, the order of the online questions. So we would have the questions about our campus, questions about the book, and then some multiple choice and short essay type questions. So we could drive the students to certain events, and we could have, if we would had more buy-in from the deans, where they could say, tell their students that they were having an event, say at the College of Agriculture, and you could target students that freshmen that were in agriculture to go there, and that way they would have more buy-in with their college or their major, and that was the idea behind it. But you know, that didn't work like we thought it would. But in the future, it would, you know, we would work, and so we could drive students to different events and presentations. And then the maroon edition, the Habitat for Humanity. This was the first time that the university had sponsored a Habitat house. And it tied in with the book because it was a painted house, and the theme of the book was to, you know, about having a home, that kind of thing. So we really had good success with the, with some of the things that we tried, and some of the things that we tried didn't work as well. Is Mrs. May still?
Yeah.
Okay. So we every time that the students would go through the game part of it, we would record their answers, and every week the academic four that we introduced at the beginning, and David, myself, and Jason would meet every Wednesday, and we would look at the scores for the students, and we'd pull out the top ones, and we would decide who would win the iPod Touch. So that was kind of fun because we got to kind of peek into, you know, who was doing what. We could see when they logged in, like if, you know, this student logged in at 12:01 after the governor came off, then we knew that they were serious about the game. But ultimately, the scores is what drove the rewards to the students.
I got it. So, yeah, we were recording when they would get in. We actually, I could see, I wasn't watching them, but looking at the data, we could see where students that were doing especially well would take 10 minutes to answer a multiple choice question. My assumption is that they were actually double checking, finding the book page, and going from there. The ones that took 45 minutes or 3 hours, well, they probably went and got lunch. One of the key pieces that we had was we had weekly drivers. We had a countdown. We showed them things. We had to argue with the academic four that we weren't doing swag. This is something that you guys are all kind of trained to do. We're going to give you a t-shirt. We're going to give everybody this. We're going to give everybody that. It needs to be something special. It needs to be interesting. It needs to be real. And it needs to be something that not everybody gets. And that creates a driver. It creates a reward. It's something they go after. So we used t-shirts, and that was for our kind of initial get the word out about the different pieces. And then if they went to an event and they weren't in Immersus, we'd invite them in. If they weren't Immersus, well, we knew they were in Immersus, and we'd thank them for joining us again, and off to the next set of questions. The iPod Touches, we ended up trading a number of t-shirts for a number of iPod Touches, and I think that was a fantastic choice that we made. It's expensive, it's flashy. The iPad is probably now the new iPod Touch, but that's even more expensive. But to a student, it's real. It's something more. And remember, this is a voluntary program. There's nothing that said they had to read the book. We just teased them and rewarded them. End phase. We announced the scholarships. They didn't know originally that was going on. We also opened up the final essay contest, whereas the other ones were short essays. This was something where they had time to prepare. They had formal three different choices, and then that was graded, and the winners were mentioned. They ended up all being Immersus players, but that was a separated, the scholarship was separated out from the rewards they got for just entering the essay contest, which was open to all. And that was one of those playing back and forth between whether you were a player or not and trying to keep things rolling together. We concluded a round before midterm. Outcomes. Do you want to? I'll get this. We did a survey last year, and we basically asked the students what they thought, and we differentiated on basically whether they participated or not. What we saw was we saw a 15% boost in satisfaction with their first semester. We saw 22% were more aware of the importance of community and university service, 20% boost in understanding, 23% felt they were more a part of the university, and they thought it was a good experience.
And we used the survey. We have in our portal a survey channel, and so we targeted just the freshmen. So only freshmen got the survey, and of the ones who took the survey, this information is from the students who participated in Immersus. Is that correct, David?
No, this is whether they self-reported whether or not they had participated in the Immersus. We didn't force that particular number out of the system. Here is our goals that we set out at the beginning, and you can see these beautiful little check marks. We hit them all, and I really think we did it differently. We did a good job of tying things together. Results versus surveys. So if we took the retention rate, you know, the number of freshmen that returned that were non-participants, and that one we double-checked whether they participated in the system, 80% of the students returned. If they actually were participants in the Immersus system, 90% returned. You know, that 10% is huge for us. That's, for us, it would translate over to $1.25 million in tuition and fees that are being maintained and brought back in, not to mention not having to re-recruit. Now, I can't tell you definitively that Immersus gave us the 10% boost. Okay, I'm not here to say that. I wish I could. But that's 10%. I'm pretty sure Immersus gave us a good lift. How much? I can't tell you, and I can't, this is the number. But it's a huge shift.
Okay. What we think we did well, we linked all the common reading events to different activities on campus so that we got the freshmen out on campus to discover parts of what the campus was about and to have buy-in to the university. We made really good connections with the students, with the book. Students who participated in immerses really knew things about the book and were able to discuss those. And in our panel discussions, when they came to the discussions, they knew the topic, they were able to actively participate and provide really good discussions for the panels. Some of the things that we were challenged with, the viral marketing and the secrecy part of it, in retrospect, probably we could have been more open with it and probably could have gotten more students in. We had less faculty involvement than we had hoped, and we had hoped to get more students than what we did. We were challenged because we found that freshmen, they don't really talk to each other that much. They're still connected with their high school friends on Facebook, and they email each other, their old friends. But when they get to campus and they're freshmen, the doors of the dorm automatically, of their residence hall, automatically close. They don't leave the doors open. They don't really talk to each other as much. So they weren't really talking about the book and the immerses project like we wanted them to. And sometimes when we would ask some of the top players to recruit other players in, and a couple people did that, but they were competitive with the iPod. They wanted the iPod, so they didn't want any good other players to come in because it might get their chances of getting the iPod.
I'll take this. So 2010 rolls around. Decided to take a different marketing approach. Viral is fantastic, but we really needed to assume that we were getting survey results, and we thought it would spark and take flight and all the rest of that, and it didn't. So we hit from a different perspective, different angle. So there was an open discussion of immerses. All of the students in their freshman dorms got magnets with immerses on it. The administration decided to stop recording events, and they changed the drivers and the rewards on us. They removed some pieces. Also, as a technical ITS, information technology services thing, we had to rebuild the system. This was being written, and sometimes I was writing code hours, minutes before it was to be released for the next interval because we were adjusting to new demands, new requests. Can we put in, driving them to this new event that we suddenly started in these different pieces? And because of that flexibility and that we discovered we needed, we just ripped down the whole system, took what we learned, rebuilt it. Object-oriented, reusable, kept it as an eye that we could transfer it to other schools if we needed to, give it a full admin system. So if you know what you're doing with the admin system, you can build a structure and you can run it. And that allows ITS to step back from having to code all the time and give it over to the people running it. We don't have paths anymore. That structured lattice work that I had shown you, very intensive to do. Instead, what we did was we did 30%, and we could change the percentages. 30% was a random split of questions. 30% campus, 30% or 70% book, in addition to required questions. We could force required questions during certain turn intervals, so we could ask them specific pieces, but the rest of the questions were filled out from a random lottery. All the questions were vetted. It's the same system. It's just, it's very much the same idea. Each experience is totally individualized. Time locks are still in place. They're fantastic. They're useful. They're necessary. Results. Freshman results last year versus this year. Last year we had 14.6% logged into the system. This year we had 3.1%. And then we asked them and compared the simple survey that we were asking all of the students, were they aware about the first-year student program? This year, 2% less. Had they read all or part of the book? This year, 7% less. And this could be that we weren't teasing them with, there are big rewards if you read the book. We just said, read the book. So marketing is a big aspect of this. You need to be on your cues about that. Drivers. remember those rewards we were talking about? Scholarships are fantastic. And if you're what I refer to as an A-class student, your typical A student, they want to do well, they're already in this training, they're go-getters on this. But the B and C class students, and that's not to say that a B student's a bad student, it's just you look at the GPA, you try to figure out what's driving them. We didn't have iPods or game tickets or any of the other things this year. And what we saw was people logged in, looked at it and said, huh, and left. So event attendance was a key piece for our viral marketing, and I think it's a key piece. Record who comes to your events. Use that to bring them back in. We lost that ability, so we couldn't tell who was attending events, nor could we bring them back in, nor could they see that, you know, going to events got them up on the point scores. So what we kind of learned from all of this, from the whole collective, I'm going to say it requires a project management team, but I don't want to use that term in like you must go hire somebody. But this isn't simple. So you have to think about all the interconnects because you're interconnecting all of your different programs, which means you have everything that has to gel. You have to pay attention to your P's and Q's. It's a complex system. You need to pay attention to the details. You're in the tech industry. You're used to this. You're used to dealing with these details. It creates a really rich learning environment. It leverages all of your learning activities that you've got going, and it just augments them and brings them forward. We think it could provide a radical increase in freshman retention rates. I can't positively tell you that, but we'll go from there. Works on a low budget. Staff time, $5,000 consumable budget. That's what we had the first year. Integrates into your first year student program because you basically go to your first year student program and say, what do you do? All right, let's tie into that. Leverages the student's preference for technology. It does require, you know, web interface and web programming, but, you know, it's not too hard. And the retention rate again. And here's the thing is that it helps the students form bonds to the campus. When they think about your campus or when they think about MSU, their first year, they're not going to think about the classes, but they are going to think about playing Frisbee at midnight. They are going to think about running around on the scavenger hunt. You know, now they know we have a sycamore plant that went to the moon and came back and all these different pieces. It just ties in pieces. So clearly I'm an advocate and we have time. Questions.
So my question is, to me, $1.25 million return on how many iPods and a few t-shirts, I mean, you must, why did they take that away? It seems so, it really seems counterintuitive to me.
The people who were in charge this year thought or believed that the students would want to participate for the intrinsic value of learning.
We did have one. I agree. We did have one clutch problem at the very beginning. Remember that pre-campus email that we sent out? We had somebody blow through it, tear it up, do really good, and she arrived on campus, and we literally walked in and said, here. And she said, what's this? I don't know. Open it. Walked out. She never logged back into the system. You're going to have events like that, but that really burned some of the administrators. And that's my personal belief. There's no write-up on this that says that's what happened. That's my belief.
Yeah, and they didn't want them just playing for the iPod.
That was a big thing. They wanted the people to be playing for the intrinsic value of a program where they aren't required to read the book, just told to do it, and they're not being graded on this while they're attending everything else. That's what they wanted. That's what they got this year. You can see our shift in rates and handling of people coming in.
So are you going to change it next year and go back to?
I'm not in charge. I just provide the magic.
And hey, you got a question back there?
I was just going to ask, what are you changing for next year to hopefully pull in some of that intrinsic motivation? And if you don't have access to extrinsic motivation?
It's really going to come down to, because of the complexity of the system and because of the administration that's handling it now, because people moved positions. I'm not sure. I think we'll do it again next year, but I haven't gotten the word that we'll do it again next year. I'll get the word sometime in January or February.
We will have another, you know, they will have a common reading.
Yeah, the common reading program is going to go on.
The one that we did this year was Three Cups of Tea, which was a completely different book than the John Grisham book that was chosen because he's a Mississippi author. And there's a room within the library, the Grisham room, that has all his donated papers and manuscripts from his books and that kind of thing. So that was kind of a big tie-in. The Three Cups of Tea was more of sort of a service learning type way that they wanted to go this year.
Right. And so The other thing we did with this year's Three Cups of Tea is we actually hooked up with Google Maps and built some the schools that were featured in the book and presented them on the location in Google Maps where the students could go in and actually look, walk through the building and see the environment where these buildings were built. If you've read Three Cups of Tea, you'll understand this is an ancient isn't the right word, but far reaches of Afghanistan and Pakistan. And so just to tie our Mississippi students into another part of the world. So this is highly leverageable to anything that you're doing as far as the continuation of Immersus.
And we had good participation in things like Greg Mortensen, the author of the Three Cups of Tea, came to campus and spoke. We had a backpack program where students would bring backpacks with supplies in it that were given to ship over to Afghanistan. However, since we didn't record attendance on that, we didn't really have the tie back into.
We can't tell you whether that was freshmen or just the rest of campus.
Yeah, we didn't know if it was freshmen coming or you know who it was, so we couldn't really tie that back in. So,
yes.
You mentioned the midnight frisbee game. Who is that? An organized event?
The midnight frisbee game. How did that happen? Be careful what you say if you're a student body president. It might come back to bite you. So the student body president was in his speech to all the incoming freshmen was saying, do something creative, do something fun, do something weird, do something different. Play frisbee on the drill field at midnight. And went on with his speech. We were looking for something fun to do with the students. And, well, he said, play frisbee. Why not? We just invited everybody to go play frisbee. And that's how that got started. It's listening to what you have going on campus. Leverage what's going on. It's your culture, your campus's culture. Use it. Accentuate it. Teach it to the new guys coming in.
Now, did you do swipe cards?
No, we did not do swipe cards on that. But what we did do was, remember these Frisbees? Remember these URLs? Well, we had people showing up, and we had him specifically giving out these Frisbees. And then we saw who came back into the system. Because this has a key that gets you in, and what we could do is say, these Frisbees, these had a return rate of 10%. Okay, we'll go from there. So we didn't have swipe cards on everything, because you just can't do that, but you can use these keys in your drops. All of the drops were individualized with these keys. I could tell you when we dropped the information out, when we put these little finder pieces, and what the return rates were. Okay, what's the question about? The question is, how do we get faculty buy-in? The first piece of that is that Jerry is now the provost. That helps a lot. And so we can put some pressure to get that. The thing that we did last year that was different than this year was we didn't tell anybody about it. The few people we did tell about it, we said, be quiet. And my God, they were. It surprised us how well that worked. And we'd ask for questions from different places, and we had one. The accounting department told their people that we were building a computer game for campus, and could we please send historical notes from their division? Didn't tell anybody what was going on. They just got me the information without telling what's going on. Now we're pushing the program more. We're trying to get the integration together. But that, again, is the academic side of the house, and MITS, which is the support side. And I can't really speak to exactly what they're doing now. That lady in front, please. Privacy. The question is whether or not card swiping created privacy issues. We were very careful. We're always very, very careful with our student data and how we're handling it. And so we didn't have any problems with card swipe data because we'd go straight into our database and we just kept that segregated and separated. All we really used that for was basically to thank them for coming, send them the email, and give them a key in. And that's all we used it for. There was a question. Yes. In the idea of doing game design and levels, we had you're suggesting using the keys at events to unlock certain levels and different pieces. Original in the development phase, we had discussed having different, I'm not going to call them cognitive levels, but player levels. Some students would find certain clues and go deeper, and then other students would. we couldn't actually build that in completely, and there's a certain constraint on our time and programming piece. I would love to do that. I mean, if I had a year and a crew, it'd be great, but that level, just to get this out and get going, we don't have that level of shift.
No, I think what I was just saying was that the level's unlocked at midnight.
Yeah.
You get the Frisbee, you type in the key, your level unlocks at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we could do that. It's certainly a good idea to look at. It really depends on how player competitive things are going.
So,
yeah, without rewards. More questions? Yeah.
The portal that you had a piece up there where it showed the countdown and it was logged in. Is that logged into your, or is that linked into your LMS, or is that an entirely homegrown system?
The portal that we built, we have the web channel portal is part of our banner support piece. The Immersus piece that we built is a separate system that we coded up for this. It's separated from Banner and all the rest of the pieces, distinct to our own server and running in that fashion. Does that give you the answer you needed?
I think so.
Yeah. Sure. Just the login page, was that what you were?
Okay. Oh,
right. Okay, so there. And what you'd see inside is you would see a question and then a place to choose the answer, fill in the answer. And then, again, you'd have these countdown pieces reiterated. But that's something that we built completely on our LAMP stack servers. Yes, person in the back.
Is there a reason that you decided to build rather than leverage freely available or open source tools for the gameplay?
Time to development. It's one of those things where Jason's team was asked to look at an ARG. We looked at the ARG. We looked at it, decided what would be good, what would be bad. We presented on it, and they said, great, do it. Okay, so we did. The other thing, though, is that we've got a very strong coding group that does this work, and so sometimes going and taking other people's work, while it's good to leverage that work, can slow you down as much as accelerate your programming, and we needed to get it done. And we wanted to have a very fine control on what we were doing. So for that reason, we coded straight. And like I said, we ended up having to do a rebuild. Now we're object-oriented and able to be expanded easy. Any more questions?
Okay. If you didn't get one of the handouts or bookmarks, they're in the back table, so you can help yourself to that on your way out.
Well, please join me in our appreciation for the speakers this morning. Also, don't forget.